Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross. This is episode 251. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. It was really good. Good food. Too much food, definitely, but it's certainly good.
That's always a good, too much food is never a bad thing on Thanksgiving. Got to have the leftover turkey sandwiches and all that jazz. We're kidding. We're recording this on Monday night. We couldn't keep up the charade. We're recording this right after we recorded episode 250. Chris, you almost couldn't say that with a straight face.
I did. I mean, I kept it together. I was trying not to laugh, but
I could keep it together. I'm the one.
I was going to keep going with it, man. I thought we had it, but
nah, I failed. But no, we are recording this on Monday night as well, right after we recorded the last episode, but we broke it up. We had so many more players to talk about, but wanted to keep the episodes to a reasonable time frame. But here's part two. You'll be listening to this on Friday, so hope everyone did have a good Thanksgiving with their family, ate too much food, watched some football, read some baseball content, because obviously baseball is better than football. But we got Lucas Bieri back with us for part two. Lucas, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing fantastic. Having a lot of fun talking about these players. And, man, we're at that early part of the offseason where we can flip-flop our opinions on certain guys. Because, I mean, we all play at leagues. We do our different articles and stuff. And man, there's players that are going to fly under your radar, whether you're an analyst or you play a few leagues with your buddies. So this is just an awesome time of the year where you can make discoveries and find out new things that are just kind of coming up to your surface.
Oh, absolutely. And that rings true, like even in the prospect world, even more so, because we just have so much time, whether you're looking at, you know, major league guys, prospects, whatever. Everything is, you know, there's no more changing data. You know, obviously there's no games being played. So everything's kind of set and you can just really take time to dig in. And it's a fun time of year. Obviously miss baseball and it'll be back before we know it with spring training. Hopefully hot stove, you know, starting to kick up here with Nola signing. And maybe when you're listening to this, there'll be a few other signings or trades happening over the last few days. But yeah, it's always fun to start really take that extra time to dig in and really kind of question your own, you know, evaluations of certain players or rankings. And that's what these episodes have been about. Again, we had episode or part one of this back in episode 250, where we discussed eight names there as well. Vlad Jr., Mike Trout, Ellie De La Cruz, Aaron Nola, Walker Buehler, Adelis Garcia, Cody Bellinger, and Christopher Morel. So if you missed that, go back and check that out. Today we got eight more, kind of the young breakouts, so to speak, and a lot of fun names on this list as well. But before we get into that, the usual housekeeping. You can find all of us on Twitter, Chris at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod, and Lucas is at LucasBeery, BEIRY33. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review, and make sure to check out all of our personal platforms, the Dynasty Dugout, Toolshed Fantasy, and DC Dynasty for more content from the three of us. All right, let's hop into it here with a name that Lucas put on the list. And this is obviously a very great name to discuss right now, given the fact that he came up late, set the world on fire, and that continued into the postseason all the way through a World Series championship as a 21-year-old guy that was a surprising second-round pick and kind of a not a nobody, but someone that wasn't even on the radar of a lot of people back in that draft. And now look at him now. He's a guy that could be, from a surprise top 50 pick to maybe a top 50 dynasty guy now or soon. So after what we saw from Carter this year down the stretch and into the postseason, Lucas, you know, five home runs, three steals, 306, 413, 645 slash during regular season, 75 plate appearances, hit over 300 in the postseason as well. How high is he kind of risen up your rankings for you right now?
Yeah, it seems like he's pretty much delivered on the entire promise, including huge power production, which that was my number one question with him. And an on-base percentage league, he's a big-time asset, almost a franchise building block. But yeah, I think you're going to get a really nice run-scored player with 20-25-plus stolen base potential. But as far as his power goes, it graded out in the major leagues a lot better than what was anticipated. So where that truth is, I'm curious what you guys kind of think about his power.
Yeah, he was always a guy that, you know, there was always solid power there. I wouldn't go more than, you know, the term solid, but we always kind of had that thought where you look at the frame, like, all right, there's some projection there. You know, maybe if he adds a little bit of bulk, like you could see him getting up to be like a 25 the plus homer guy. But even after what we saw out of him, and obviously it was great, obviously the 645 slug and, you know, barrel rate over 10%. The average EV was still a little bit above league average. Hard hit rate was pretty solid, 46%. Also struck out 32% of the time. You know, I'm kind of nitpicking right now, but I'm still not fully sold on the power. I'm still kind of where I was previously with that power, where I'm still kind of questioning, is he more like an 18 to 20 homer guy? Can he be that 25 plus guy? I think the, you know, people, a lot of people want to think that he is right now, given what we saw from him, but I'm still not quite there. And he's definitely top 100 for me right now. I'm not quite ready to go top 50. And I put out a poll earlier, like people would rather have him or Jordan Lawler, a guy that Jordan Lawler was ranked higher, I think nearly universally in prospect rankings before they were both called up. And obviously Lawler didn't do anything down the stretch. And Carter obviously did what I just said he did earlier. So now it's, I think the poll was like 70-30 towards Carter. I'm still on team Lawler there. I think they're very close within 10 spots, but I think people are pushing up Carter a bit too high right now, given what we saw down the stretch from him. But what are your thoughts on Carter, Chris? Are you you kind of buying the additional power out of him that we saw this you know late season?
I think that Carter just works angles really well. And so like he controls the barrel and that allows him to just put the ball in the sweet spot like quite often. This isn't something new that we've seen from him. I mean, he ran a 40, almost 4% sweet spot rate in the majors this year in a small sample, but that was like 100th percentile. That's not an uncommon thing, like based on the minor league track record. So like one of his biggest strengths is hitting the ball at ideal launch angles. And you look and there's some concerns because he did strike out a lot. Not many people are talking about that. The contact rate as well. And even in the minor leagues this year, ran just a 75% contact rate overall. And so I do think that that leaves some questions about, you know, where does the contact lie? Because Carter's always been kind of a strong contact hitter, but it really wasn't there as much this year. He hits the ball hard enough, and he's a good enough athlete to make things work, but I do believe in the frame and projectability. I mean, he's 21. He's still got plenty of room to fill out that frame. He's going to be one of those hitters that if he does get to 25 home runs, it's going to be like very Bregman-esque where he just masters pulling the ball and, you know, at the right angles and just making it work. So I do believe in Carter, but I also believe that Carter could be a pretty good sell high based on the performance down the stretch and then ultimately the postseason run as well. And there's just so much hype. Like when there's this kind of hype around a player, especially a young player at that, then you can cash out and sell. And that's what I'm doing with Evan Carter, despite really liking the profile.
Now, let's kind of tie him in with the next player on our list here. And someone that you put on the list here, Chris, with CJ Abrams. Who would you rather have in Dynasty right now? Obviously, profile is pretty different. You know, obviously Abrams, 47 steals, but also got up to 18 home runs this past year. Quality of contact still not great, but you know, raised the hard hit rate, barrel rate, cut the ground ball rate. That's why you saw the jump from him. Would you rather have CJ Abrams right now or moving forward, who's still only 23 years old, or a guy like Evan Carter?
I think that I'd have to take Abrams, but it's not like crazy far off, I don't think.
Yeah.
I just think that with what Abrams did, especially the tangible improvements down the stretch, that there's a lot to believe in. And, you know, you mentioned 23, still young. His frame's pretty similar to Carter's in all honesty. So I just think that Abrams is going to be able to impact the game in a few more facets for fantasy purposes that makes him a little bit more attractive, but I wouldn't fault anybody for going Carter. I do think that it's pretty close.
Now, do you think there's more batting average to be had there with Abrams? Look, he's been right around, I see 245 and 246 each of his first 2 years. But you look at the contact metrics. Yeah, he's aggressive. Chase rate's been super high, but doesn't whiff that much. Contact rates are, you know, solid, a little bit above average across the board. You think you could see that average tick up from him this year and moving forward?
I think so. I mean, he made tangible improvements throughout the year, and the contact rate is fine. Like the end zone swing and miss is fairly low. So like his zone contact is good and he's fairly aggressive. Like he's aggressive enough on pitches in the zone, which I actually like when you're making that kind of contact. And the swing and miss, you know, it was better. Like you look at the early months of the season, his contact rates were a little bit lower and his best month was in July, but they were still really manageable even into August and September. So yeah, I'm believing that there could be a batting average boost for Abrams, but I'm not sure it's like a massive one, but he could be a 260 hitter consistently.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I think there's going to be, you know, an average uptick this, you know, upcoming year. 260, I think that's fair. It's kind of where I was thinking as well. But I think on the other side, I think you're going to see a, you know, maybe a little bit of a step back in the power department. I think he's more like, you know, 13, 14 home runs, but, you know, 40 plus steals, 260 average. I'm actually going to lean Carter here because I think, well, they're very close in my overall rankings right now. I don't know. I mean, this might feel weird to say about a 23-year-old, but is there like that next level for CJ Abrams? Again, you know, I don't think there's more power. I think, again, if it's going to go up or down, I think the power goes down a little bit from last year. And maybe the average goes up, but that kind of cancels each other out. So again, could be a top 50 player ish moving forward. But I think there's if Carter gets into that power and kind of continues to show that more power that we saw from him down the stretch, I think there's that next level where Carter could maybe approach top 30 ish range for Dynasty. So I'll lean Carter here. How about you, Lucas? You'll be the tiebreaker here. Carter, Abrams for Dynasty. Who you got?
I really don't want to do a format cop out, but I think that's important to bring up.
That's fair.
But like just in an average league, I would love to have Abrams, and I would be okay with Carter. But I just think Abrams has the ability to swing your team a lot better, and I think Carter is probably just a better player and more reliable year to year.
That's fair. Would you feel comfortable with them being top 50 guys right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think Abrams I'm more comfortable with just because he did it in the major leagues for an entire season. It's going to be leadoff hitter the entire season rather than halfway through. He became the leadoff bat in Washington, and he's really the face of the franchise now. So I think it's a 30 to 35 steal, possibly floor. I know he could bottom out and do worse, but that's a reasonable floor in my mind. And you said like 13 to 14 home runs. I kind of had like 10 to 12 home runs as a floor. So that's just a nice way to build your team in Roto, to have that as hopefully something you can bank on with upside for a lot more if he can strike another level. Because with Abrams, just watching him on the Padres, he just looked like a little kid out there. And he's growing up, he's 23 and he came in so darn young. I mean, you got to give him a lot of credit. And Carter did the same thing too. But I think if Abrams can pack on a little bit more muscle mass, maybe there's a chance he could tap into a little bit more power.
Yeah, it's very obvious that the Padres definitely rushed Abrams. Yeah,
like really bad.
Not just a little bit, a lot. Like a lot. So definitely that's why you never can give up on a young player, even though I did have my doubts. Obviously the quality of contact wasn't great, though he improved that. Improved the walk rate a little bit too, and still, only like 6%, but better than the 2% it was his rookie year. So definitely impressive, but I would lean more towards Carter myself. Let's go over to Nolan Jones here, who came not out of nowhere, but I think if you ask people if Nolan Jones had a shot at going 2020, everyone would say some form of heck no, and that's what he did. 2020 and just 424 plate appearances too, roughly two-thirds of a season worth of plate appearances, and on top of that, 297, 389, 542 slash line, Lucas. Obviously you got Coors Field there. Quality of contact is pretty good. Barrel rate's really high, but obviously K's a lot too. So he's another one of these polarizing guys where I think the range of outcomes is pretty high. So are you feeling that value, the kind of like the perceived value of him, maybe has jumped too high, or do you think he's still a guy that is a good buyer in dynasty leagues?
Yeah, I think it's jumped too high just with my style of play, going for more of the steady Eddies. It's in my mind, it's going to be hard to see it in the data this year, but I do feel like Major League Baseball teams are going to make an adjustment against this guy, and you're going to have to see what he can do when he's the focal point as the best player on the Rockies moving forward. So obviously, if you look at his numbers, it's all supported with a 16% barrel rate, and just was phenomenal, even in average, which was a huge shock for me, even in Coors Field. But I think that was buoyed a lot by a big performance against left-handed pitching. And I think he'll be able to volume his way to 2020, but around pick, 50, 60, it's just a little too volatile for me.
Yeah. With me, the one thing I look at, which is kind of a weird set of metrics, is his metrics against breaking balls. Mm-hmm. He hit, last year or 2022, limited, obviously, it was only like 29 games or whatever, hit 286 against them. This year, 317. So, pretty good both years, but also had a 38% whiff rate against breaking balls. XBA, 257, a full 60 points below. So, I want to see if that kind of comes back down. Same thing with his XBA against fastballs, but 60 points lower than his actual BA. Obviously, take those with a grain of salt, but I see some average regression. I think the power's legit. He's always been that guy that had that power in the tank if he was a little more aggressive, which he has become. So I still think he's a top 100 guy, but I do agree that another one, I feel like a broken record at this point, a guy that I feel like there's a better chance of his value going down this year than going up. But Clegg, what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I kind of echo everything y'all said. I don't have too much else to add. I feel like the concerns with his own contact being one of the worst among all hitters. I really do believe there's regression coming. He's a fun player. He gets the Coors boost, but yeah, I'm not really interested.
Yeah, his zone contact was just not good. 71.5%. Chase contact actually wasn't too bad, but that's not the really the one you want to have. Yeah. You'd rather have the zone contact being good. But yeah, it's definitely a kind of a fun profile, kind of similar to a lot of other players we've had, like the Morels and Alex Garcia's, was a lot of red and some blue. But yeah, I think I'm leaning towards sell high with him as well. This next guy, go over to the Bronx here, guy I put on the list with Anthony Volpe. Lucas, do you think Anthony Volpe might have had the most disappointing 2020 season in the history of baseball? He still went 21-24, which is good. You know, you can't go wrong with that. But at the same time, the slash line, 209, 283, 383. So it's like, do you value that 2020 more, or are you looking more at that kind of not even lackluster, just atrocious slash line, and, you know, kind of dropping his value down? But at the same time, you know, hard hit rate, 43%, 9% barrel rate, that's pretty solid. Obviously, he's a fast guy, 79th percentile sprint speed. And I think there's even more speed in the tank there. I figured that rate would have been higher, given what we saw from him in the minor leagues. So is he a guy that you feel like you could trust as a top 100 player moving forward?
For me, he is. You kind of mentioned, like, the huge expectations around him, but you know, availability is one of the best abilities. So his volume helped him reach it, but he was a $10 player, and where he went later on in the year towards spring training, that was not a good return. But for those that invested in him, you know, at a previous point, it's a good sign to see what he did. So yeah, there's a lot of ways for him to move forward. I think batting average is going to come up. I could see a serious 5-6% drop in his strikeout percentage, and making the major leagues and keeping your head above water all season at age 22, I think there's a lot of room for growth for Volpe, and he's a guy I'm very interested in moving forward.
Yeah, he's a guy that you saw, like, the average start ticking down as he got, you know, moved up the levels in the Double A, Triple A. So maybe, like, I don't think he's like probably more than like a 240 to 260 hitter in that range, but definitely better than, you know, a 209 hitter, that's for sure. So I think if you're getting, let's just split the middle, say 250. Range there, you know, 20 home runs, 25 to 30 steals. Yeah, I think that's definitely top 100. And the Yankees lineup obviously was pretty terrible this year, but you got to imagine it's better moving forward around him. I mean, obviously, like, how much worse can the Yankees lineup get? Let's be real here. They're not going to let it get much worse than it was this past year. So I do think he's a buy in general. And real quick, do you see a future, Lucas, where Volpe is a top 50 player? You think he's got that much more, you know, upside in the tank?
I think it's a possibility. Maybe a 25 home run, 25 steal with a 250 average, and, you know, take your pick on where the counting stats will come in. But yeah, I mean, a guy that showed that he can be an asset in the big leagues, given that he won the Gold Glove and, you know, is one of the few reliable players they have in their team to have that player with even more experience moving forward. Yeah, I'm going to count his 2023 as a solid positive.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Chris, are you looking to invest in some Volpe shares right now?
Yeah, I mean, he had a terrible year and still went 21-24. I mean, that's pretty impressive. But he did make improvements throughout the year. He cut the swing and miss. So ultimately, the contact percent went up throughout the year. The end zone contact rate stayed pretty consistent. Chase rate went down. Now, I think Volpe has a lot of characteristics you want to invest in, especially for someone who was 21 playing shortstop in the Bronx. That's a lot of pressure. And I think that he ends up better because of the experience. And, you know, I think he's a heavy investment this offseason.
Now, who would you rather have, Volpe or Nolan Jones, Chris?
I mean, I have Nolan Jones ranked higher, so I guess I should probably say him. But it wouldn't be surprising if they switch situations or spots pretty quick.
How about you, Lucas? Volpe or Nolan Jones right now?
I just feel like I'd trust Volpe more. He just seems a little bit less volatile, made the big leagues a lot younger, and has had better age to level, just general experience. So that's who I'm going with, Volpe.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean Jones here, but this is one where it can go. I think this could be a very different conversation one way or another this time next year, but I will lean Nolan Jones right now. But at the same time, I do think Jones is slightly a sell, Volpe is slightly a buy. But long term, I think they're going to be pretty close to me, kind of like top 75-ish, give or take a little bit either way. I think that's a fair range for them right now. All right, that's four down, four to go. We will be right back after the break.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. Welcome back from the break. While we are on a quick break here, I was poking around Fangraphs. I was wondering, was Volpe's 2020 season, his 209 average, was that the worst ever for a 2020 season? And it was. So 209 for him this year, beating the previous low of 219 by Keon Broxton back in 2017, name I hadn't heard of probably since 2017. And then the rest of the top 10, Howard Johnson in 1988, Mike Cameron in 2004, Joe Carter in 1990, Ruben Sierra in 93, Ian Desmond, of course, in 2018, Chris Young in 2011. And then the last two are kind of fun names, round up the top 10, Jose Canseco and Reggie Jackson, both on that list. So pretty fun, but yeah, lowest ever average in a 2020 season by Volpe this past year by 11 points. But you got to imagine that goes up again, like we were saying. All right, four more names here. We'll stick with in the infield here with Royce Lewis. This is a name that who put on the list? Chris, you put on the list. And we actually got asked a question. I think we both got asked this earlier. Someone would trade away Wander Franco right now for Royce Lewis. I think we both said a resounding absolutely. What we saw from Lewis, you know, this past year, obviously there's, you know, durability issue, the knees with him, very concerning. But when he's been on the field, he's been an absolute stud. 239 player appearances, 309, 372, 548, 15 home runs, and six steals, Chris. So how are you kind of looking at the profile right now, like balancing that? Now, obviously, the upside with the performance that we've seen versus that risk. How are you kind of balancing all that out right now?
He's tough. The talent's there. But is he just Buxton who can never stay healthy?
Minnesota fans are cursing your name right now.
Yeah. And you obviously hope that he can give you a full season because we saw what he can do. You know, just 239 plate appearances last year, but 15 home runs, six stolen bases, and a pretty good slash at 309, 372, 548. Ton of talent across the board. I think there's first round upside here. I really believe that. But I also worry about the injury risk. And I don't think that's a non-factor that we should just be kind of ignoring, because there's a lot of risk here with the injuries. And so from that standpoint, it makes him really hard to rank. And that's why I put him on here, not from a talent standpoint, but can he stay healthy standpoint?
Yeah, because if he can stay healthy and what top, do you think he could be a top 20? I mean, maybe that's a little high, but definitely like top 25, top 30 range. I think we already have him, at least I already have him ranked pretty close to there. Let's see, where do I have him ranked right now? Let's see, overall, I have it filtered on outfield right now. I have Royce Lewis 36 right now, and, you know, climbing, you know, every day, it seems like. So This is a guy that could be top 25 soon if he can stay healthy in 2024, put up a full season. You know, this is a guy that's probably going to be up there with Gunner. I mean, I don't think – do you think there's a big gap between Gunner and Royce Lewis moving forward, assuming health for Lewis, Chris?
I don't think so. I mean, both very talented players.
Yeah, I think they're pretty close. Lucas, is Royce Lewis a guy you're looking to invest in Dynasty right now? Obviously, talented, but a lot of risk there as well.
For me, not an investment guy for me, just with the durability issues. And it's not like a guy like Corey Seager where he had durability issues, but it was unrelated. It was a Tommy John, and then he got hit by a pitch, and then, you know, he might have had a little bit of lower half hamstring issues. But with Lewis, it was, you know, two ACLs, and then it was a hamstring. So it's really focused on the lower body. So whenever it's that kind of repeat area, that's when my alarm bells go off for an injury risk. Obviously, the talent is unbelievably elite. And, you know, if he wouldn't have hit those home runs in the playoffs, I wonder where his ADP would have settled in and his dynasty value. But, you know, that certainly put him up on a high stage. But for me, just not a guy that I'm going to be investing in. But I found that he went in a very interesting spot in the tool shed mock that we're in. He went in that kind of early to mid fourth round, which seems like a very sober pick for where, you know, his kind of buzz is at.
Yes, that would have been what, like, you know, mid to upper 40s overall. I think it's at 14 teams. So, yeah, that'd be very mid to upper 40s. Yeah, I think that's a very reasonable spot for Lewis, because I have him ranked about probably about 10 spots or so higher than he went in that mock draft. So, at that point, absolutely. And I probably had him in my queue when he got taken for sure. But, yeah, if he's healthy, I mean, it's hard. You can't bank on health with anybody, but hopefully maybe the move to third base will help him, a little less, you know, movement than a shortstop. We'll see. I'm just hoping at this point, fingers crossed, because obviously, you know, one of the more exciting young players in baseball and still only 24 years old. So let's hopefully we can see a full year out of Royce Lewis this year. And maybe, you know, get one last question before we go into the next player. If you get a full year out of Lewis, and let's just say, you know, he goes, you know, 30 home runs, 12 steals, you know, pretty good slash line, something like that, top 25 player. Would you look to sell at that point, Lucas? You know, I think I know your answer, but, you know, would you look to sell given all the risks that's, you know, maybe the next year his knee gives out again?
More than likely, I would look to capitalize on a high point for his career, but it also kind of depends on how he gets to those numbers. For me, if he's fully healthy, you said 30 home runs. I think he could be a 40-45 home run guy potentially. I mean, that's really optimistic. Don't get me wrong, but he has that 40 home run skill set in my mind. So if he can get there and, you know, the batted ball data is tops in the big leagues, it might be worth keeping him around to just see, because those kind of guys are so rare. There was not as many guys that hit 40 home runs compared to what some fans might think. So yeah, there's only three or four, five, six guys that can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's certainly fair. I think the upside's tremendous here. So yeah, I 100% agree.
All right, moving over to Josh Lowe, that Lucas put on the list here. If I had told you that, Lucas, that the only other player outside of Ronald Acuna Jr. to hit over 290 with 20-plus home runs and 30-plus steals this year was Josh Lowe, what would you have said?
I thought that other players could have fit that bill, but evidently not. So that's a nice group of players to be in for sure.
And obviously cherry picking stats, but you know, you got to put the cutoff at some point. But yeah, there was a lot of other guys that are like in that 280 range that were, you know, 20-30 guys. But yeah, Josh Lowe did that this year. 292, 335, 500 slash, 20 home runs, 32 steals, but basically did about 98% of that against a right-handed pitching. Only was used against lefties for 67 plate appearances, two home runs, 238, 284, 429. How much are you factoring that in to like your evaluation and your analysis on Josh Lowe? Obviously, you know, he mashes righties, but do we trust the Rays to use him enough against lefties to kind of justify where he's going right now? Because early ADP was, I think, right around 75 or so. Like, you think he can be a top 100 guy moving forward?
For me, I was initially kind of freaked out by the early price tag and kind of the new value when he's kind of one of the first players off the board who's not an everyday guy. But I mean, given all the huge strides that he made in different avenues of the game, I think you've got to get him a lot of credit. And like we had mentioned with Mike Trout, this is a guy that can put together a full season's worth of stats and not full playing time. So yeah, I think that the more I look into him, there's just more and more positives that are coming to light when, you know, a lot of people are going to mention he's not a guaranteed full-time player, but that can also change too. If the Rays think that he's worthy of facing same-handed pitching.
Chris, what are your thoughts? Is Lowe a top 100 guy for you?
Yeah, he is. It's close. I think it could go either way. I could see him continuing what he did last year, but he could also fall off a good bit. And I've got him at 95, so just inside the top 100. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a bit concerned. There are some warning signs in the profile, but I do like that they've kind of shielded him from lefties. And so people might say, oh, he's a platoon, but he's a platoon that still got 500 plate appearances last year. And it kind of played to his advantage and the fantasy manager's advantage too. So I think that helps out a ton, just the fact that he doesn't have to face lefties.
Yeah, I think that can't hurt. So obviously, he's had his issues against them over the years. Right now, I have him, you know, just inside my top 100 as well. Currently have him at 91. I've kind of been playing around with that ranking. I don't want to go much higher because I think he's kind of capped at like the top 60 to 75 range. And obviously, if you know he takes a step back against righties for whatever reason, loses some playing time, you know, obviously more of a top 150, 200 guy. So I feel like right around top 100 is, I think, a fair range for him. All right, let's go over to another young outfielder here, opposite coast with James Outman from the Dodgers. He's wrapped up a pretty like a quietly impressive rookie year. The slash line doesn't jump out at you, 248, 353, 437. But finished 23 home runs, 16 steals, and was, you know, I know it's not fantasy stat, but top 15 in WAR in the National League, which really kind of shocked me overall. Another guy that has, you know, he's always been a good, you know, always a good speed, 88th percentile sprint speed. Quality of contact is, you know, pretty solid. You know, average EV is right around league average, but 11% barrel rate, 40% hard hit rate. So I kind of feel like what we saw from James Outman is pretty fair to expect moving forward. Contact rates, though, you know, they're not great. You know, with zone contact, well below league average. You know, he's got a higher whiff rate, 36.6% this past year. So I don't think he's more than a 250 hitter or so, which is kind of where he was. But I think 250, 25, 15, I think that range is very fair. And does that make him a top 100 guy? I mean, if he adds 86 runs like he did and some solid RBI totals as well, maybe, but I don't know. You know, Lucas, where are you at on James Outman? Obviously, you know, solid young profile, but I don't know. I'm not sure if there's like that room for positive growth from here. I know he's a rookie. Well, he was rookie this past year, so obviously he still could, but like, do you feel like there's that next level to be unlocked with James Outman? I don't really think there is.
Yeah, you kind of described him as like a solid young player that you can feel good about. And I think people have a disappointing taste in their mouth with Outman because he started off so scorching hot and then kind of went back to normal human levels. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you have a 25 home run bat with 15 steals and, you know, Dodgers lineup, premium defense is going to keep him in the lineup, even against some southpaws from time to time. They're going to mix and match here and there, but this is a growth stock for me. And given the fact that there aren't 100% positive feelings across the board, he is gettable in a dynasty format. So yeah, he's a target for me in all formats.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the perceived value on him is still pretty low. Like I said, when I started talking about him, like he quietly it went under the radar. Like I don't think people realized like how solid his season was. Obviously, you know, he's on the Dodgers. People are focused on Mookie, on Freddie, and all the pitchers, etc. So I get it. And I get why a guy like him could fly under the radar. And he even was as a prospect too. He's one of like those older, quote unquote, you know, older prospects that was, you know, kind of got written off because they were older for every level. But he had a pretty good track record in the minor league. So I think he could be like a borderline top 100 guy moving forward. And if that's what you're looking for, I think he's a good buy. I don't see him like jumping up rankings further than that for the most part, though. But Chris, I don't know. What are your thoughts? You think there's more upside to be had with Outman, or you think this is what he is and it's a solid buy?
No, I mean, I'm buying. I mean, he went 23-16 last year. I think he could be a consistent 25-15 type player. And you look, and he pretty much improved throughout the year. The contact rate trended upward. The end zone contact rate trended upward. The chase rate, it went down. He chased a little bit more in September, but really good chase rates. And it improved throughout the season as well, up until that last month. And the performance was so good down the stretch. I think people kind of missed the second half that he had, because he had a really, really strong year. And ultimately, I'm buying Altman. I think the Dodgers seem pretty invested in him. He's 26 years old. He kind of does a lot of things you want to see. And while there are K rate concerns and swing and miss concerns, I think he can figure that out and be a really solid contributor. So yeah, I'm interested for sure.
All right, let's go over to our last player here, the only pitcher in this episode, with Grayson Rodriguez. And I'm really glad, Lucas, that you put G-Rod on this list, because I want to see where you have him. So I'll just say I moved him up to my SP5 for Dynasty. Obviously, you know, probably knocked that down a little bit for a redraft, but for Dynasty, I have him behind Strider, Burns, Cole, and Yuri Perez. But it's like really close. Like, I actually have Cole, Perez, G-Rod, and Gallen all back-to-back-to-back-to-back, 35 through 38 in my overall rankings. And in the mock, he went 48 overall, which for pitchers was behind Strider, Burns, Cole, Yuri, Luis Castillo, and I think that's it. So he was and Zach Gallen. So I think SP like 7 or 8. In the dynasty mock that we are currently doing. So where are you at on G-Rod? Obviously, kind of a really bad start, sent back down, came back up, and was dominant. So how are you kind of valuing what we saw from him last year?
That's a great question. You know, I don't necessarily have a full concrete feeling on him either way, because there's some premium aspects to him. He certainly passes the eye test, but from a skills perspective, I mean, in the first half, he had a 16.6 K minus BB and a 4.15 Sierra. So he was highly unlucky compared to his results. But in the second half, you would have thought he would have made a jump, but he only went up to a 17% K minus BB with a 3.88 Sierra. So obviously that's a nice K minus walk. And he got lucky in the second half, unlucky in the first half. But when people are looking at him as a frontline guy, I just feel like for me, I need to see a little bit more until I can put him there. But as far as just the raw skills and raw talent, I mean, I can understand it, but I'm a little bit more of a see it kind of person rather than put him there before he's demonstrated it for even a full season or a half season with the high end skills.
That's fair. But so where would you put him? Like, it's off the top of your head, like in terms of starting pitchers, where would you be comfortable putting him? Like, you know, top 10, top 15, top 20, where do you have him?
Let's see here. Probably more in like the top 25 to top 30 range for me. So I'm a little bit lower on him.
All right. Now, obviously, it's Ivan pretty high. Lucas, not so high quite yet. Chris, how about you? Where are you at with G-Rod?
Yeah, I'm in. I thought there was good strides down the stretch. I've got him in the second tier of arms for Dynasty. You know, redraft is obviously going to be, I think there could be some bumps and bruises along the way. But to me, watching him pitch down the stretch looked like the vintage Grayson Rodriguez that I had watched as a prospect that had, you know, 4 truly plus pitches, maybe even 5. But obviously injuries, big factor, and it took him a little bit of time to come back from that. And so I'm pretty invested. I think that he could be a good buy. And while I do think that 2024 could see some bumps along the way, I'm certainly encouraged by the strides that G-Rod made, especially seeing the fastball velo tick up throughout the year. He was sitting over 98 with the fastball in August. A couple other pitches saw nice velo bumps as well. Just doing a lot of things that you wanted to see out of him in the strides that you were hoping that he would make. He was getting more chases out of the zone. He was getting more end zone swing and miss with all of his pitches down the stretch. So the arsenal as a whole just felt like it really came back to who he was and who he's been in the past, which is a reason that I'm investing in Grayson Rodriguez.
Yeah, I just went and looked at ADP for 2024 real quick. 71.2 right now. Overall pitcher 31, but I just quickly did, you know, took out the relievers. SP 22 right now. So I think that's pretty fair.
for this year, with obviously upside for more. But yeah, after saw him live double A, like, I still think he's the best all around arm I've personally seen live over the last half decade. And seen a lot of good arms. So yeah, very, very high on Rodriguez. But that will wrap up part two. Again, Lucas, thanks for joining us here. I think you're the first ever. Yeah, you have to be the first ever back-to-back guest in Toolshed history. So thanks for joining us on these two episodes. It was great having you on. Obviously great, chatting with you as always out in Arizona. And just again, for anybody listening that might have missed it last time, just let everybody know where you can be found and all the stuff you got going on over at DC Dynasty.
Yeah, so you can find any of my work on Twitter at LucasBeery33. I run a website, DC Dynasty. Be focusing on the draft champions content right now. Once first-year player draft season starts to kick up, I'll be putting a little bit of dynasty stuff out there. But really, the main purpose of the site is kind of deep leagues and kind of deeper targets and draft and hold format. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, great stuff there. So go check that out. Again, DC Dynasty. Check out Dynasty Dugout for Chris. Toolshed Fantasy for me. And we will be back again next week with some Dynasty mock draft recap. But until then, everyone take care.